according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Okay, let's stop right there for a minute. So, we see so far that we're talking about, Peter is telling us what we've received in Christ and how we've received promises, great and precious promises. And he says, and besides all this that you already have, you need to, it says here in verse number 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And that word diligent, it means to be very careful. Constant. I mean, a diligent person is a faithful, constant. You are doing it constantly, constantly. And it says add. Adding is an action. It's an action. Each and every one of us have a choice to do this. And another thing I want you to see, it says add to. There's one important word there. It says your faith. My children cannot add to my faith. They have to have their own faith. Each and every person in here, in order to grow in grace and knowledge, you have to have your own faith. And I'm not talking about your own way of salvation. I mean, you have to have your own salvation. You have to have your own walk with the Lord. Be saved. And so I want you to just keep those things in mind. And it also, look in verse 8, we see that it's telling us what to add. Faith is what we're going to talk about tonight. It's the very first step. It's the very first step in our foundation. But look how important it is in verse number 8 that Brittany read. It says, for if these things, what? All the list of things that he just listed there that told us to add. If these things be in you and abound. That means abound means full, constant, always there, abiding, abounding. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what that's going to produce is a fruitful Christian. In John it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now that's not only talking about souls, but it's talking about our life glorifying God. And so this is very important. Who has verse number 10? Okay, go ahead and read.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make sure to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, but you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. May I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me.
Okay. So in these verses we see here, and I failed to mention verse number 9, another thing it says if you lack these things, you're blind. So if we have these things, we walk in the light. A blind person cannot see where they're going, right? They're going to stumble unless, you know, they've learned. But if you close your eyes and you're in a dark room, you're going to stumble all around, all over the place. But the Word of God is a light into our path, a light into our feet, and a lamp into our path. And I just messed that all up, but y'all know what I'm saying. And so it helps us. It says, and not only what happens is after somebody walks in darkness so long, they forget that they're even saved. And unfortunately, and Brother Fogg talked about this not too long ago, many times women struggle with this because we don't walk by faith. We walk by our feelings. We have all these hormones, and one day we're up and down, and then all this stuff is going on in our body, but we can't live by that. We have to live by the Word of God. But somebody that gets out of the Word of God and they don't continue to grow, then guess what's leading them all the time? and they forget that they were ever purged from their sins. And you say, how can somebody get to that? They can. And you can talk to them all the time on soul winning. We even, bigger churches, they have people sitting in the pews that are like that because they're not growing. And so it's very, very important here. And verse 10, it says that there's a promise. It talks about those precious promises over there in verse number 4. Well, there's a promise in verse number 10. Did anybody catch that? When you see shall or never, those are promises. What's the promise in verse 10? Shall never fall. Does that mean that you're going to have never ever going to have a bad day? No, but falling is you're not going to fall out of your race. How many Christians have we seen, do we know, that fall out of their race? I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to any of you guys. And so this is very important, and Peter is trying to get us to see how very, very important it is to diligently add these things. But I want you to look in verse 12. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. He says, I'm not going to be held responsible for not causing you to remember this. I'm going to remind you constantly, constantly, constantly. And he says, even there in verse 12, he says, though you know them and be established in them and the present truth, he says, even though you know these things, I'm just going to keep reminding you. Keep reminding you, keep reminding you. And those of you that are reading through your Bible in the 6 months, we have in there where God told Jacob to go back to Bethel. Abraham went back to Bethel. Many times back to Bethel is back to the basics. Back to the basics where we first meet with God. There's nothing wrong with that because we always need to be growing. And so so he's saying these are very important. Even though you know them, don't just say, oh, I know that already. And that's what Peter says. He said, I'm just going to keep reminding you. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. And I think, Alyssa, you're reading verse 15, is that right? Yes.
Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so again, he's just reminding them, and he's saying, verse 17 is should be our key and our desire as Christians. This was said of Jesus, and Jesus is our example. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's what our desire should be, is that our lives please the Lord. And when we pass from this life on to eternity, that our Heavenly Father says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know some of you are sitting here saying, okay, we just read Proverbs 31. I don't understand this fog. How does this tie together? But you see, what made her that virtuous woman is because she grew in grace and knowledge. And at the end of that chapter, it says, the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, these are the things that we must add in our life if we're going to be a godly woman that fears the Lord. So we're going to look at these for the next 8 weeks or so. And we're going to use this little book, and it's going to be our guide, and we're going to fill it in. And then after we're done, we're going to go back and look at Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. And you're going to see how you see each and every one of these in her life. Why? Because the scriptures are not written by man, which we just saw there. It's written by inspiration of God, and all things work together from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? So open up your books there to page number 1. or number five, I'm sorry, number five. Now, I don't want you guys to go to sleep. Some of you know this is going to talk about faith, and it's going to be talking about our salvation, but we can always learn more. It can help us when we're teaching Sunday school. It can help us when we're talking to lost family members. It can help us when we're soul winning, because we're living in a day and time where we hear all kinds of stuff out there, and you can never have too many tools in your toolbox. All right, so it says first, it says faith, to rely upon Christ for salvation. That's the definition of faith. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That verse is in Hebrews 12:2. It says, the word faith is defined as a persuasion, a moral conviction, and especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. There are two phrases mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1 that deal with a Christian's faith. To them that have obtained like precious faith and giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's in verse 5. Salvation is a free gift that is received by anyone who repents of his sins and puts his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's found in Acts 20:21. All right. Jamira, you want to look up Romans 6:23? Yes or no? No? Okay. What about you, Tori?
Yeah.
Okay. Romans 6:23. And then, Miss Claudia, how about 2 Peter 3:18? Romans 6:23, you read that to us, Tori. Go ahead.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, so we see our first blank right there, the word gift goes in there. Eternal life is a gift. We receive it by faith. Once a person is saved, he should add to his faith by increasing in the knowledge of God. Not for salvation, but for Christian growth. More than likely, when you got saved, you didn't know that much about God. You didn't love God. You didn't love Jesus. You knew God had convicted your heart. You were a sinner. You were lost. You were on your way to hell. But the more that you get to know somebody, that's how you love them. The more time you spend with them. And that's how you grow in grace and knowledge. The more time, I didn't know these two girls, Tori and Jamaria, very well when they started riding on the van. But as I begin to spend more time with them, I know them more. And I begin to love them more. And I have a relationship. But when you... So the more time you spend with somebody, that's the more you love them. And so that's what this verse is talking about here. 2 Peter 3:18, go ahead, Miss Claudia.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
Okay. So that blank is knowledge. Grow in knowledge. Knowledge. It says, a closer examination of the two phrases found in 2 Peter 1 helped the Christian to have a better understanding of his faith. Faith obtained. Obtained like precious faith. We see that. We already read about that back in 2 Peter 1 through 4. And what it is saying is that faith was attained through Jesus Christ. It says the Christian obtains this like precious faith when he receives Jesus Christ as Savior. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That verse right there is your key verse when you're out soul winning and somebody says, oh, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're not all God's children. Salvation makes us a child of God. And that's your verse right there. The word faith is in reference to salvation or being born again. This is the foundation to which the Christian must add. Without salvation, there would be nothing in which to build. And that's a problem in a lot of our churches. And especially, unfortunately, even in our churches, without true salvation, people cannot build upon. There's nothing to build. It'd be like trying to build this church without this foundation. These walls are going to crumble. They're just going to fall down. And we know in the Gospels it talks about building your life upon the rock or building it upon the sand. And salvation is the key. We must have true salvation. Repentance, towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Once you have that, then you can build upon it. But that's the foundation. That's a foundation which your life needs to be built upon. Our marriages need to be built upon. Our families need to be built upon. If our husbands are going to be businessmen, if you're going to have a company, it needs to be built upon the rock. Because whatever is built upon the rock is going to stand. All right, so let's see, 1 Peter 1:5, Miss Mary Jane, would you look up that? 1 Peter 1:5. All right, so we are kept by the power of God through faith, through faith. Thank God we don't have to keep ourselves. We don't have to keep it. We didn't get it. There was nothing we could do to get it. There's nothing we can do to keep it. It's all by faith. All right. Miss Mary Jane, you're already right there. You want to read verse 9 for us? 1 Peter 1.
Receiving the end of your faith, even salvation of your
souls. Salvation of your souls. So that's the next block. All right. Mrs. Seifert. 1 Corinthians 3:11, if you don't mind.
Further foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, others may try. Baptism is not salvation. Paying money to the church, all those, that's not a foundation. That's the sand that we're talking about. But there is no other foundation in our life other than Jesus Christ. All right. Melissa, do you want to read that paragraph right there? Do you mind reading?
The Sears Tower in Chicago, Illinois, reaches a height of 1,450 feet and the tallest building in North America. Yet the foundation reaches 100 feet below the earth with 180,000 yards of material. Though this foundation is never seen, it is what supports one of the tallest buildings in the world. Accepting Jesus Christ as the foundation on which the rest of the Christian life is to be built. Christ is a great foundation that is absolutely necessary, but one which cannot be seen with human eyes.
Amen. Well, that maybe y'all knew that, but I did not know that. That's incredible. Can you imagine 100 feet below the earth? But that is a perfect example. I cannot see Jesus in any of y'all's hearts. I can't. Only I can see is what's built upon it. And that we cannot see the foundation of that building, but thank God it has a deep one. I know that would be very, very scary. But that's an example of our salvation. You cannot see the foundation, but the foundation must be there. All right? The next one, it says, so we're talking about faith obtained. It's through Jesus, and now it's because of Jesus, verses 1 through 3. It says, as a result of receiving Christ and having him as the foundation, the Christian receives five things which are mentioned in verses 1 through 3. And in these verses, the word through is found, which refers to Jesus Christ. The believer has the following things through Christ. The first one is like precious faith, persuasion, moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ. The second thing in verse 2 is grace. That's graciousness, acceptability, favor. The third one is peace. That's greatly lacking in our world, isn't it? Peace. So praise God. Peace. By implication, prosperity, quietness, rest, quietness. Have you noticed how noisy our world is getting? More and more and more. You can't even go to the grocery store and think about what you're buying because the music is so loud in there. Thank God, I highly recommend Aldi's. They don't play music right now. So if we all shop there and we complain if they start playing it, then maybe we'll keep it out of there. But there's just a lack of quietness and a lack of peace in our world today. And the next one is life, literally or figuratively, and godliness, piety and holiness. that's exactly what we're talking about, the standards, these standards here. And then C, it says, by Jesus Christ in verse 4. So we've talked about it's been through Jesus, because of Jesus, and by Jesus. It says, believers can be partakers of the divine nature. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells him. A new nature, a divine nature, is received. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Megan, you want to do that? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Okay, so once we get saved, we have a divine nature in us, and nothing, my hair, my feet, my fingers, my eyes, my mouth, nothing belongs to me anymore. It belongs to God. It's His temple. Every bit of it belongs to Him. That's why He tells us as ladies that we are to yield our instruments unto righteousness, our bodies unto righteousness. That's why He tells us as ladies, you have a choice. You can be an instrument unto unrighteousness, or you can be an instrument unto righteousness, and it's simply by how you adorn your body. You adorn your body. If you adorn your body in modest apparel and you cover your body, then you are yielding your members unto righteousness. And I cannot tell you how, I mean, we saw it today in our very first lesson in creation. We saw how important, how very, very important it is there. So, we must remember that our body, Christ dwells in us, and that our bodies are not our own. The next one, it says, believers can escape the corruption that is in this world. The world is corrupt because of man's lust. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, when we are drawn away from the Lord, are drawn away from the Bible, when we are drawn away, it's not because of anybody else. Now, Satan can use, just like we saw today, or we saw in the Word of God in Job, and Satan, he has somebody out there for all of us. But it's not that person that draws us away, it's our own lust. But through faith, the Christian can escape the corruption of the world by being a partaker of this divine nature. You think about it, before you got saved, I got saved later in life, so I can really understand this, and those of you that did. But before you get saved, you don't have anything to lead you in the right path. You have your conscience, and you just feel guilty afterwards, but you don't have that light leading you in the right path. You just have that sinful nature. And so we now have help. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that divine nature that can lead us out of that. It says, don't go there. Don't think that. Don't say that. Don't, you know, we have that help, all right? Ephesians 2:2, let's see. Miss Sonia, do you have your Bible? Okay. And then Romans 8:9. Brittany, why don't you go ahead and get Romans 8:9 for me? Ephesians 2:2. Disobedience. Amen. So what goes in that blank right there is the world. Before we were saved, we followed the course of this world. Praise the Lord. We don't do that anymore. Salvation has set us free. Jesus has set us free from that. And that's exactly what Brother Fogg was preaching about today. The prince and power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. How are they children of disobedience? Because their father is who? Satan. Satan. Amen. Okay, Romans 8:9. Brittany, go ahead.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
So what this verse says is that blank is spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Wow. Wow. You say, how in the world can they be so evil? This is how. How in the world could we be so evil before we got saved? This is how. Right there. All right. So number two, it says, we're learning about building here. It says, faith built upon. Add to your faith in 2 Peter 1:5. Verse 5 begins the phrase, and besides this, in other words, besides all that Christ has given to the saved, and we have a lot through Jesus. We have a lot to be thankful for. If he never did another thing for us, we have a lot to be thankful for. Sometimes we lose sight of that throughout our day and trials and troubles come, but what Jesus did for us, the salvation, the penalty that he paid for our sin, it's incredible. It's incredible. But it says, besides all this, Christians need to add to their faith. This is not a request, but look at the next phrase here. It says, but rather a command that should be done with diligence. The word diligence is defined as speed, eagerness, with haste. As soon as a person is saved, he needs to begin eagerly adding to his faith the following. Now, this is going to explain to you what these are. Virtue, courageously do right, no matter what. It doesn't matter how you feel, you do right anyways. Whether you're alone or whether you're in a room full of people, you do what's right. That's virtue. The next one is knowledge, to know God's word. Temperance, to have self-control. Patience, to cheerfully endure. Godliness, to be holy. Brotherly kindness, to love the brethren. Charity, to have one-way love. So all of these things are important. Yes, we have salvation, and that's wonderful, but God wants us more than just be saved. He wants us to live a life that pleases him, that produces fruit. And in order to do that, we have to keep growing. And it says here in conclusion, it says, God expects his children to grow. Peter lists 7 graces that are to be added to a believer's faith that he might grow. In nature, 1 or 2 things is taking place. The living plants are growing and the dead plants are decaying. 1 of these 2 processes are also taking place in the Christian life. And I brought y'all an object lesson. And it's not hard to do in my house. This part of the plant is dead. It's decaying. This part is doing okay. But you know what? This plant was like this one day. And all of our lives can be like this one day. And we can be like that the next if we don't listen to what we said here. But you see, this would be like this if it didn't have roots. Roots are a plant's foundation. You see, you think about a tree. It's rooted. That's its foundation. That's what keeps it in the ground. I can't see these roots, but I know they're there because I can't pull it up and it's alive and it's growing. So as you go through this Bible study, I just want you to think about our desire is to be like this one over here, not like this one. And God tells us in his word, he said, if we add to these diligently, we will be like this over here. But it's up to each and every one of us. It's an action that we have to do. But we must have a foundation. And I know that I'm talking to ladies that have been in church for a while. But if you don't not sure about your foundation, that is the most important thing that you need to get settled. This Bible study will mean nothing to you if you're not sure about your foundation. And I'm talking about your salvation. I was in church, my husband was in Bible college, I was even a Sunday school teacher. And I struggled, and finally God convicted my heart. And I felt like he said, this is your last chance. Either you get this right, or I'm done. I'm not going to keep convicting you. And I got saved. Samuel was 2 years old. And Brother Fogg was in Bible college. I was teaching a Sunday school class, a girls' Sunday school class that Miss Mary Jane teaches. And so there's no shame in getting saved. I am thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me. And so I just encourage you, ladies, if you're not sure about that, please find me. find the pastor, find somebody. Let's talk about your salvation if you're not sure about that foundation, because your life will end up like this because there's nothing. See how that one just came right out? You don't have any roots, no foundation. And that's what was happening to mine. I was so frustrated. I'm like, why isn't this working? It's working for everybody else, but it's not working for me. Because I didn't have any roots. I didn't have any foundation. Okay? So I hope that this Bible study will be a blessing to you. And I'm going to try to finish each one of them. So close your books and don't look ahead to the next one, even though we know what the next step is. And does anybody have any questions? I know that first step was very basic, but it's so important. It's so very, very important.